patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
All right. Welcome to January 30th. It is slow baseball season. I'm starting to understand why Scott went to Africa right now. Show prep is difficult this time of year. Not a lot to talk about. Thanks again to Mr. Craig Ballard, one of the fan favorites, for joining me here today. So, Craig, how are you doing? How was your weekend, buddy?
Fantastic. Hey, I'm doing very well. I always look forward to being back on the walk-off. Shout out to Adam Mack. Shout out to Scott Belfort. Shout out to the walk-off community as well, Adam, right? This is a pretty impressive community that's being built, best. By the way. Yeah.
They are the best. Okay, lots to talk about today. Oh, I wish that was true. The outfield dimensions unveiled for the Rogers Center. We've known for a few days now the distances to the wall, but now we know the heights as well. So we're going to talk that. We're going to talk Buck Martinez coming back this season. But we're going to have a look ahead at potential replacements for him. We're going to talk a potential honoring of Buck Martinez with maybe a level of excellence nod. We'll get to that. We're going to talk the home run derby. Is the home run derby broken? Is it perfect the way it is? Is it a couple tweaks away from being that marquee event that we all want it to be? We're going to talk trivia night. We've got a Patreon trivia night coming up tomorrow if you're watching this on Monday. So Tuesday, January 31st, we're doing a Major League. Remember that movie? Major League. Charlie Sheen, Major League trivia night for our Patreon members. So we'll talk about that and we'll get to some fun stuff from there. AL playoff teams. Last year we had Houston, the Yankees, the Guardians, the Jays, Seattle, and the Tampa Bay Rays. Playoffs going to look a lot different in 2023, I have a feeling. So we're going to talk that. And then we're going to end the show with some high variance players, guys with high ceilings, absolutely high ceilings and super low floors. Love that term, high variance players. Nick Ashburn on Sportsnet was the article. I first saw that term. So we're going to talk that. Let's get to it. Let's start with the outfield wall, my friend. 14 foot walls in Toronto. I have an issue with this. I didn't like 10-foot walls. The Green Monster in Boston, I'm fine with. That is its own unique oddity. I'm good with it. Otherwise, not a fan of tall walls. They're bringing the walls in, but they're raising them up. How do you feel about the outfield walls in Toronto for... I suppose decades, we've had that symmetrical or pretty close to symmetrical outfield wall in Toronto there at the Rogers Center, Sky Dome. It's been a gripe of mine for a while. I do like seeing that's what makes baseball great, I think, is that it's a unique playing surface no matter where you go. So it is nice to see the odd features coming into the outfield wall. How do you feel about this?
You know what's going to help you and I both, Adam, is Shapiro's press conference when they sit down and explain it. Because I wonder if there's an explanation that'll make us say, oh my goodness, geez, there it is. Okay. Because on the surface, I don't get it. Moving the fences in, I do get that part of it. I absolutely get that part of it, especially to right center. Congratulations, Bo. That's his power alley. Varsho, I think that's going to be his power alley. George Springer, that's his power alley. It's going to positively affect a few Blue Jays. What I think is being left out a little bit right now, Adam, is that's nine innings for both teams. So as much as I keep hearing, hey, it's going to help the Jays with this, this, and this, the other team's getting those same nine innings. The other team's getting those same 27 outs. So it may be beneficial all around. I am right there with you with the gripe about the height of the fence. That's why I say we need to hear from Shapiro. We need to hear somebody from the Blue Jays explain something where we say, oh my gosh, there it is right there. Okay, now that is making sense, because I do not get it. I do not get it. On the surface, what are you trying to promote there? That's a lot less drama for robbed home runs.
Oh, that's my favorite play in baseball, Craig. I love it.
As well it should be.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, other than, again, interesting oddities like the Green Monster, and I know there's like the Crawford boxes in Houston there. Other than some weird oddities where maybe a high wall is justified, give me like 7-foot walls all the way around. I just, there's nothing better than seeing a deep shot and a right fielder or whoever it is take a run, climb the wall, arm over the wall, and bringing back a absolute home run. And it's just not the same to see a guy climb the wall full extension and steal a double from someone.
Well, Adam, we've got the World Baseball Classic coming up, and I think this is now 2 World Baseball Classics ago that Adam Jones robbing the home. You're going to see that highlight everywhere. And I think this is now 2 World Baseball Classics ago. That's how incredible, that's how memorable, that's how noteworthy robbing someone of a home run is. You know, home run, that's people that can't even spell the word baseball understand what a home run is. You know, people have no interest in baseball understand what a home run is. To be able to rob somebody of that, man, absolutely epic. So now you got that play. You got the crowd reaction. You got flipping now we're seeing the pitcher's reaction. Like, it's all amazing. I remember Vernon Wells in Yankee Stadium. I mean, how far back is this going? I remember it like it was yesterday, robbing a home run. And at Yankee Stadium, this flipping guy got a standing ovation from Yankee fans. Because even Yankee fans are like, I mean, what are we going to do? That was incredible. I mean, what are we going to do? That was incredible. Okay, fine, hats off, fine, hats off. That's what the Blue Jays have gone out of their way at him to take away that drama. So I don't get it. That's why I say we need to hear from them, because maybe they'll say something that that helps it make sense for us.
Yeah, I don't get it either, man. It's especially in like a playoff situation, like the high stakes, it's a tight game. You see that drive to right field, to left field, whatever. And it's like just that tension for those 3 seconds of, is it gone? And then to have someone just make an absolutely heroic play to come up with it.
And that's one of the main comments from Baltimore's changes that they made, Adam Mack. That fan base was livid with that. Remember, they took their home run robbing left field and moved it back 20 feet. Now no one's hitting home runs. No one's robbing anything. It did help the pitching staff, I will say that. But didn't the Toronto Blue Jays spend money to help the pitching staff already? Like, I don't think a building and strategy to help the pitching staff is what this was a part of. So in our own division, we've seen teams make inexplicable changes to the outfield fence, and the fan base, no bueno, did not like.
I suppose center field, I should mention 8 feet in center field. So there is some chances for Kiermaier.
On Kiermaier, yeah.
There to, I still feel like 8 feet is a little tall. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the average baseball player? 6 foot. Let's just call it 6 foot plus 2 feet worth of arm. That's 8 foot to your glove if you're flat footed, maybe. And then a hop. So you could rob a home run at 8 feet, but I don't know, Craig. I don't know about this.
Yeah, I'm with you. Adam, do you agree that that's our chance? The Blue Jays come out and say something that makes us go, oh my gosh, that, because right now on the surface is not making sense to us.
Yeah, I think voice your opinion is great, because we are only on phase one of these renovations. Phase two next offseason.
Oh, good point.
I always get confused there when you're, is it this Wednesday or next Wednesday? Yeah. Well, next Wednesday is this Wednesday coming up, right?
Is the one coming up, yeah.
Right? This Wednesday coming up is the next Wednesday. Anyways, the off season following the 2023 ball season, we are going to have phase two of renovations. And I'm hearing that it's going to be foul territory that's going to be getting adjusted. We're going to have some new dimensions in foul territory. If we make enough noise, maybe there's a chance these walls do get changed. I don't know if the distance to the wall is going to change, like with the new locations of the bullpens and stuff. I feel like that's going to be pretty close to set in stone. But yeah, I mean, go to Twitter, go to Instagram, go to whatever. I think if you're as annoyed with this as we are, now is the time. Like, speak up. This is might be your last chance until a new stadium gets built to acknowledge the fact that, hey, the fans want shorter walls. Like, I would have rather seen the walls go back, like go back 10 feet and be lower. I don't know. I could go on and on about this, Craig. We don't have to spend too much time on the outfield wall. It will be interesting to see how it plays out. And I think, like you said, we're going to need a press conference with an explanation. We're going to need some sort of a behind-the-scenes tour from Shai Davidi or something with some sort of an explanation. But, yeah, it's one of the most excited plays in baseball. And to just absolutely remove that, I can't wrap my mind around it. So, okay, let's talk Buck Martinez. Let's talk Buck Martinez for a minute. He's back behind the booth, or in the booth, I guess, behind the mic, calling games for 2023. It's nice to see. He's recovering nicely from his cancer. Hopefully that is fully stays in remission there. He's 72, I believe. The future of Toronto Blue Jays broadcasts at some point in the not too distant future is going to have to move on from Buck Martinez. Once he's gone, I talked with Garth about this on Friday, but I want your insight, Craig. Who replaces Buck Martinez? Pat Tabler's gone. Martinez going to be gone soon as well. This has been the face of Blue Jays games, the voice for sure of Blue Jays games for years, if not decades. A very prominent role in Canadian baseball. Who do you see being the guy that steps in to replace him? I mean, we have to acknowledge right off the top that Blue Jays fans are absolutely, we think we're spoiled with Vladdy and Bo and the kids. Like, we are absolutely spoiled with this broadcast team. I don't know if you watch many broadcasts for other teams or if you've ever seen some of like the Apple TV broadcasts that they do. We are so spoiled with the broadcast team right from top to bottom. For Toronto Blue Jays games. What's next after Buck Martinez?
Well, and we've been spoiled from jump as well. I mean, we had Tom Cheek and Jerry Howarth on the radio for years. They were absolutely as good as it gets. But I'll liken it to what the Toronto Raptors did. Now, the Toronto Raptors brought in Alvin Williams, so that's a very popular former player. Now, his first season, my goodness, how nice can I be here? I mean, you're better off watching it, the game on mute. He was just dreadful. He has really developed into this role, in my opinion, nicely. So could something like that be on the horizon for the Toronto Blue Jays? A Vernon Wells, a Ricky Romero, I'm more of a dark horse, a Jesse Barfield type of guy. I think somebody like Pat Henkin could knock a job like this right out of the park. So I do think there'll be some options for them there. If I'm the Blue Jays, I'm not looking to reinvent the wheel here. I'm literally looking to see who's going to fit in nicely beside Dan Schulman. For me, that's how I feel we're spoiled, because Dan Schulman, I think, is the absolute as good as it gets. I think he's the best in the entire business. So I'd like somebody that's going to work well with Dan Schulman. Now the game date, like down on the field, you have Hazel, who is also as good as it gets. I wonder if Hazel could be up in the booth, by the way. I wouldn't close the door on that. I think she's just such a talent. But yeah, you're totally right, Adam. It looked like this was by hook or by crook that Buck would be back this season. So it looked like it was this close where they had to make a decision now. So definitely hope some irons are in the fire. It certainly will be sooner rather than later before they need to replace Buck Martinez. And Buck Martinez, by the way, Adam, if I can tell the story, but if you remember how Buck Martinez broke his leg, if you want to talk Buck Martinez, I need to tell this. If we're talking Buck Martinez, one of the most incredible plays I've ever seen, certainly one of the most underrated plays in Blue Jay history. When you hear it, maybe you'll think one of the most underrated plays in baseball history. This is 1985, drive for 85, first time Blue Jays make the playoffs. Their catching scenario was Buck Martinez from the right side hitting against lefties, Ernie Witt from the left side hitting against righties. They're at the at Seattle, at the Kingdom, in these, you know, back in these days at the Kingdom, playing the Seattle Mariners. Seattle's got a lefty on the mound, so there's Buck. I remember correctly, Tom Filer was making his debut, and shout out to you if you remember Tom Filer. That's an obscure Blue Jay name. Anyway, he's on the mound for the Blue Jays. I want to say it's the sixth inning, and in the previous inning, Jesse Barfield with that arm out in right field had already gotten somebody down. We all know, right, Jesse Barfield with that arm. We all know what he was doing out there. So man on first, Filer box him over to second, so now man on second. Stormin' Gorman Thomas is the batter. Stormin' Gorman Thomas, big dude, Fu Manchu, the muscle, like a big scary dude. Shoots a base hit out to right field. Now, Jesse Barfield with that arm just threw someone out. Seattle still sends the runner. So Jesse Barfield dispatches of the runner at home to Buck Martinez. Jesse Barfield's this particular throw comes up third baseline a little bit. So Buck drifts. You could see him in the right-handed batter's box. Makes the catch. Here comes the collision. Buck's body gets bent over, but his spike from one of his shoes gets stuck. So as his body gets bent, his leg stays right here. So he breaks his leg, snaps the bone out, and breaks it in two spots. So he's lying there with a broken leg. Stormin' Gorman Thomas hit the base hit, goes to second on the throw, looks at home, sees that Buck Martinez has been shot and killed, so he thinks he can just go to third base now easily, right? Just trotting to third base. The pitcher, Tom Filer, who's backing up the play, is coming to pick up Buck. Like, are you okay? So now Buck, if you imagine Buck's field of vision, he's lying there. His field of vision, he sees Stormin' Gorman Thomas going from second to third. So on the ground, with the leg broken in multiple places, Buck tries to throw to Garth Orge. Shout out to Garth Orge, to the actual Garth Orge. But you can imagine lying there, busted leg. The throw's nowhere close. It goes skipping down the line in left field. George Bell is backing up the play. So as the ball goes skipping into left field, Stormin' Gorman realizes, well, I can just trot home. He starts trotting home. Didn't see George Bell backing up the play wisely. Bell on, I think it was one hop even, right to Buck Martinez, lying on the ground. The one hop comes right to Buck. And like I said, Stormin' Gorman, 6'3", massive. If he wanted to have a collision, he could have killed Buck Martinez right in that moment. If you ever see the replay, you will see he tiptoes like a ballerina, just trying to almost like excuse himself around Buck, because he can see the leg is, like, he can see this is a real deal right now. So gets himself tagged out pretty much on purpose because he doesn't want to add to the drama. So that is, what is that? If you score at home, if you've scored baseball games before, that's a 9-2-7-2 double play. And if you've ever seen one of those before, drop a comment because I'd love to hear it. One of the rare. So Buck Martinez completes a double play with a separated bone and two of the bones in his legs broken. Hashtag legend, Adam.
Hashtag legend, certainly. Well, speaking of the legendary Buck Martinez, is it time to cement his status in Blue Jays, in the pantheon of all-time Blue Jays, with an addition to the level of excellence in Toronto? It feels inevitable. But when should it happen? Does this need to happen while he's still broadcasting, or is this a post-retirement sort of thing? Or do you even think he needs to be added to the level of excellence? Let's start there.
Well, I'm going to be really in the minority here, and I'm going to be very unpopular when I say I don't think Buck Martinez should be in the level of excellence. Buck Martinez has quantity with the Toronto Blue Jays out the wazoo. You are going to be hard pressed to find the quality. He was not a good player. He was a very good defensive catcher. He was in the major leagues for like 18 years. Well, Craig, that sounds pretty. He was the worst hitter you ever saw in your life, but he was good defensively. I will give him that. He called a good game. I'll give him that. I don't like him as an announcer. I know I'm in the minority there. I know that's almost blasphemy. I don't like him as an announcer. As a manager, if any of you are old enough to have lived through him as a manager, then you want this level of excellence talk thrown out the window. He was as bad as John Gibbons as a manager. I mean, just horrible. So the quantity is there. I know this is blasphemous. People love Buck. I get it, Adam. I'm so happy.
You know what? He's feeling there's some heat coming for you in the comments already. I can feel
it.
You got a lot of love in the comment section last week. You're going to get some
all
heat
out the window this
one.
Week, is it?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to remind everyone, you know, I'm old enough to have watched Don Chevrier, Tony Kubek, all the broadcast teams we had growing up. Adam, let me say this. Let me see if anybody agrees with this point, at least then. Here's my beef with Buck Martinez. As I say, how can you be in the majors for 18, 20 years, whatever it was, be such a bad hitter because he was so good behind the plate up here? There are so many times, Adam Mack and walk-off listeners, where Pat Tabler would be his partner. Buck Martinez, because he has such a brilliant baseball mind, would ask a good question to Pat Tabler But Tabby would never throw it back, and Buck would never take the reins and just bring it back and answer the question. Buck, it's you with the baseball mind. It's you I want to hear the answer to that good question. So I actually do have some beefs with Buck Martinez. I know. Enjoy your last time on the walk-off, Craig. You're about to be booed the heck. I know it. But you, Adam, you know I have to call it the way I see it. You know I have to do that.
Craig, if Joel is welcome back on the walk-off after the comments for him on Wednesday, you're safe. You're safe here. I promise you that.
Okay. Awesome.
All right. I think it's I love Buck. I couldn't agree with you stronger. I do think that he's starting to lose it a little bit he's 70, so I can't fault him for slowing down a little bit behind the mic, but very fond memories. My entire childhood is Buck Martinez calling Blue Jays games. So, for me, level of excellence entirely based on his game calling, not on his game playing. But I don't have a problem with that.
That's just fair to me.
If he is to be added to the level of excellence, though, let's just work under those understandings here. Will you rather see that after he's retired? Let's just say he finishes this season and doesn't come back. Do you want to see it as a, like, 2 years later, he's 75 and we bring him out for a ceremony? Or do you want to see it like mid-season this year?
No, mid-season. If anything, bringing him back to, because maybe you have some sort of celebration for all the people who are still alive in the level of excellence. Maybe do something like that. But no, if we are going to give Buck that level of flowers, level of excellence, that level of flowers, then absolutely. I want it to be when he's still around right now. He's still, you mentioned slipping a little bit, but he's as into his game as possible. The absolute truth, Adam, and we don't want to be, super negative, but the absolute truth is he's dealing with an illness that is going to control the narrative, right? That illness is what's in charge. So we don't know how he'll be going forward. So if he's good enough to be there this season, let's absolutely get the flowers done with him in-house this season.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. We did get a comment last week from Scott Carter, and I'm just going to read this out here. I think the most important is to add Buck to the level of excellence while he's still doing the broadcast. It'd be so much better than doing it after he's retired. I think June 19th, 2024 would be a great date if he's still around. That would be 55 years since his MLB debut. Sure, his debut was with the Royals, but no one's perfect. I'm all for milestones. 55 is a cool number. But like you said, in all of life, you don't want to take any time for granted. So, I don't really want to wait till 2024. I think that's an induction that the sooner it happens, the better. Let's talk replacements a little bit, and then we'll move on to our topic of the Home Run Derby. We did get a few comments about, and you're going to be more knowledgeable on this than I am. I think he calls the Raptors games.
Matt Devlin.
Thank you. I was thinking Adam Devlin, but yeah, Matt Devlin. I think I went to school with a kid named Adam Devlin. Anyways, Matt Devlin calls Raptors games. I'm not a Raptors guy. So you can speak better to his abilities as a broadcaster. I know he has filled in for Blue Jays games here and there, but what are your thoughts on Matt Devlin specifically as a potential replacement, or would they stick more with the baseball and leave him to what he's good at, because that seems like a shot at him, and I don't mean it as that at all. But
yeah,
what are your thoughts on Matt Devlin?
Well, I think you said a viewer suggested that. Hats off to that viewer. I think that's a great call. Matt Devlin is one of those announcers that brings the party with him. He brings the energy with him. Now, baseball has guys, people like us, hooked. We know the truth is, a lot of people, what's their number one? Oh, you like baseball? Baseball is boring. Matt Devlin is that guy that when it's 9-4 Blue Jays in the third inning and the game's already spoken for, he's still going to have that energy for the last, six, seven innings. He's still going to be able to keep you hooked, have good stories, very entertaining, great sense of humor. Again, I think you said that was a viewer that suggested that. I absolutely love that idea. And Adam, I don't think it's a matter of, you know, just having him do what he's best. I think Dan Shulman's the example. Dan Shulman is as good as it gets at calling college basketball. He's as good as it gets at calling, but he also excels at baseball. If you're good at this, I think you're good at this, period. The Bob Costas, the Marv Albert, we can stick them in any scenario. If you're good at this, I just think you're good at this, period. And Matt Devlin is good at this.
Okay, with that, okay, I'll say this. That's a great point, I think, with Dan Shulman. I'm glad he didn't stick to basketball, right? I know not everybody's a Dan Shulman fan. I don't understand that, for one. I think Dan Shulman
is... Oh my gosh, I've never heard that before,
Adam. We got some comments in the troll, or in the... some trolls in the comments here. Bored with Dan Shulman. I think that's ludicrous. Wow. But yeah, we did get a few people asking for Matt Devlin. And I think you're right. I think that's a great point, that if you're good at this, you're good at this. You're calling sports. I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the answer comes from internal. One name that really stuck out to me was Ricky Romero. We got a lot of Vernon Wells suggestions too. I'm not a Vernon Wells guy, I can tell you that. Ricky Romero feels like he is being brought along by Sportsnet and groomed for the position. Maybe not necessarily as a Buck replacement, but maybe as a 10 years down the road kind of a replacement, right? Maybe get him some more work and on the radio side. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm so torn on this. I feel like a former player would be nice. You know, maybe like a Russell Martin.
Oh, there's another name right there. That's a catcher, so you know he's going to know a lot about the game. That's a good one right there.
Yeah, I mean, having the catcher as the broadcaster, it feels like a cliche at this point, but it's a cliche. The cliches are cliches for a reason.
For a reason, right? Yeah.
And, I mean, the downside is, nowadays, I think a lot of pro athletes are less likely to get into broadcasting because they made a good amount of money when they played. You know, sure. Back in the 80s, they weren't exactly making generational wealth the way they are nowadays. So the incentive to pull Russell Martin, I mean, we've talked about this as like potential manager for the Blue Jays and why that's not likely to happen, right? It would be a tough ask, I think, to get Russell Martin into the broadcast booth for Sportsnet, but I think that'd be a fun one. Okay, let's move on from there and talk the Home Run Derby. Home Run Derby 2023 in Seattle for the All-Star Game weekend. We talked last week a little bit about the idea of Vladdy returning to the Home Run Derby. Mixed reviews on that idea. On the one hand, would it ever be fun to watch? Absolutely. On the second hand, we don't need Vladdy messing anything up, exhausting himself, pulling a muscle, whatever you want to worry about for Vladdy overdoing it in the Home Run Derby, because you know he's not going to take it lightly if he does. But this brings to the forefront the problem that I have with the Home Run Derby, and I want your thoughts on the Home Run Derby in general. It's a event that has existed for years and years.
Ever, yeah.
Has been tweaked quite a bit. And the format of the Home Run Derby, I like right now. I'm enjoying these timed rounds. But do we have a problem with baseball where the biggest stars of the game are in a potential opt-out of the event situation? And now I see the Raptors banner on your wall behind you. We just talked Matt Devlin. I know you're a big Raptors guy. Basketball has a similar problem, I think, with the slam dunk contest, right? I grew up in an age where I got to watch Vince Carter doing the slam dunk contest. I have never got to enjoy the same like LeBron James in a slam dunk contest, right? I don't know if it's less of a health thing and more of an ego thing. Maybe that's also at play in the home run derby with baseball, so we can steer the conversation back to baseball. But how big of a problem is it that we're not seeing the biggest stars in the biggest showcase for baseball? Does it matter at all?
Well, it's a great question. And we talk so often about how to tweak that, because I think the home run derby could still use some tweaks, to be totally honest with you. I want to tell you what my basketball solution would be, and see if we can find the equivalent in baseball. I've always thought for basketball, it is about the ego. And I've always thought the only people, the wives, the gentlemen, there's nobody that has the ear of the players like the shoe sponsors. That's where all the money to be made is, the shoe sponsors. So I've always thought the NBA needed to involve the shoe sponsors and have, you know, these guys are representing Reebok, these guys are representing Nike, these guys are representing Adidas. And all you need is it to happen once, because now one shoe wins it. Adidas wins it. The Adidas dunker wins it. Now for that entire next year, Adidas' whole marketing campaign is, hey, do you consider yourself a high flyer? Did you know Adidas is the official slam dunk winning shoe? All they would take is 1 year. Nike, oh my God, are you seeing that? All these, oh my God, are you seeing that? Now everybody's involved. Now they're leaning on their stars. Now they're leaning on LeBron. Now they're leaning on Kobe back in the day to go represent them. Because, hey, we're paying you hundreds of millions of dollars to represent our shoe. These guys are getting all this free advertising, getting over on us. I think it would build a momentum of its own. What's the baseball equivalent? Is it the batting gloves? Is it the bats? I could see it maybe being something like the bats. So is there an equivalent in baseball where we can get the sponsors involved? Because the wives, the managers, the teammates, the agents, there's no one else that can lean on these players that has that cachet like the sponsors have. So is there an answer there? That's A. B, let's continue to tweak the home run derby. I like the idea, again, oh my God, third time I'm going to take it back to basketball, but in the basketball all-star game, they have that skills competition. So it's the NBA all-star with the WNBA player from that city and a legend from that city. Could we do something like that? So for the Blue Jays, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and viewers will notice I didn't say Slim Daddy Vladdy, I said Vladimir Guerrero Jr., by the way. Okay, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., is the Blue Jays representative. Aurelvis Martinez is the minor league representative. Jose Bautista is the Legends representative. Could we do something like that? And the minor league and the Legends representative, they get five pitches, whatever it is. Like you said, Adam, something timed, so it's fast moving. And whatever home runs they hit are bonus pitches to the major leaguer. And what bonus pitches? Each major leaguer gets three, let's say 500 mile an hour from a jugs machine pitches. And those count as bonus at the end of their round. Could we do something like that? Could we spruce up that home run derby? Because guys like you and I, Adam, I'm glad that we can try to have ideas and have conversations, but really Major League Baseball is not super concerned what our opinion is of the home run derby. This is for the younger generation, right? And I think this is something that could be there for the younger generation. And on top of all of that, that's A, B, and I'll say C, and I've never come up with the right idea for this, Adam, but I still think there's something there, something in the stands. So when a home run is hit, just going to spitball this here. You have 10 home run participants. So from those 10 cities, minor league teams that have done a great job fundraising, like somewhere to reward them, mm-hmm. they get tickets, they get flown out to the game. They get the jersey of that player. If that player, one of the Toronto teams out there, if Vladdy hits a home run and one of the Vlad Guerrero Jr., you know, little leaguers out there catches that home run in the stands, I've always thought we could do something with that as well, something in the stands as well. So I'm with you, Adam. I like the tweaks they've made. I think it's a lot better than it has been. Again, it's not for us, but I still think tweaks can be made further here to enhance this and lessen what I've just described. There might sound like it's added on to them. I think it's lessened what's on the plate for the major leaguers. Now we've got the young player. Now we've got the legend. And from a fan experience, Slim Daddy Vladdy, I just said it there, darn. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. could finish ninth in this home run contest. Blue Jay fans would go ballistic to see Jose Bautista back in a Blue Jay uniform representing them. Like, there would be something there for the fans. I think there's some there. I don't think it's great ideas, Adam, but I feel like there's some there.
You're on to something. The MLB does do their future stars events, right?
Yes.
I don't think they put enough emphasis onto showcasing that. It's not televised in the same way. I love the idea of bringing like a Joey Vats back to Toronto, back to the All-Star game, having him team up with Vladdy. When I was younger, I was in a bowling league, a youth bowling league, and we would do like a high-low doubles tournament with the seniors. So you'd have like the lowest average would be with the highest average from the senior, and you'd be paired off in this tournament, right? And then you'd find the average from there, right? So I do like the idea of having a Vlad paired with Jose Bautista. And then if they don't win, it's less on Vlad's ego because, hey, I'm off the hook, you know? Right. Jose Bautista didn't hold up his end of the bargain. Right?
But even the friendly banter that would create, Adam, like that's even sure. TV what you just
I know right it there. Would be great in the era of TikTok and clips and the direction things are going. I think that would be great. You definitely get some great 60-second sound bites or whatever the case may be. I also like the idea of, and this one might be tough to pull off, but incorporating celebrities into it as well. I know they do like the celebrity slow pitch game. That again, just like the futures game, does not get showcased the way it should be. It's downright difficult to actually figure out when the or how to watch the celebrity game. You know, you'll see the highlights on TSN the next day, but it's hard to catch the broadcast live. I would love to see Kevin Hart and The Rock swinging for the fences in a home run derby. Mic'd up for sure. But give me 10 celebrities, you know, throw in Ryan Reynolds. He can come out in his Deadpool costume if he wants. I don't really care. I know this is like silly and some people are going to think this is so dumb, but I want more of that. I loved seeing Albert Pujols in the home run derby last year as a good legend. Point.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
How much fun was that? And here's another thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was some speculation that, you know, was Albert getting juiced baseballs for the home run derby? I don't think he was. I mean, he's hit 700 career home runs. He can swing a bat, whether it's juiced or not, right? But I would be fine with, even if they didn't tell us this, if they just juiced the baseballs for the celebrities, so we could watch Kevin Hart launching 390-foot home runs, I'd be into that. Like, I don't know.
And Adam, it wouldn't just end there. Those clips wouldn't end there. Guys like Kevin Hart and The Rock, every interview they did for the last year, when they're bickering with each other, they would come back to, oh, I guess it was you that won that home run. No, wait, well, that was me that won that home run. Like,
exactly.
It writes itself. So exactly. It's such free publicity for MLB for going forward. I really like it. And again, we talk about whatever changes need to be made. You and I are already hooked. We're already hooked on baseball. It's for these younger generations that they're trying to do these things for. I think that could speak to them, what you just said there.
We are seeing a little bit of, I mean, this is not quite the tweak that we're talking about, but they are doing that Home Run Derby X, I think it's called, MLB, where they are. I don't think it goes far enough. Did you watch any of those Home Run Derby X's? Because that's where they were pairing like a female baseball player and an athlete and a legend. But they were doing these. It was for like the Cubs and the Yankees and the Dodgers. And they did like a world tour with it. It was a very weird event. I think too gimmicky. And that makes me want to backtrack everything I just said, because we do need to not get too gimmicky with it. I watched them. They were tough to watch. The broadcast, like the production value of the broadcast, did not look MLB level, which was a big problem I had. Even just like watching a hit, you'd have a hard time tracking where the ball was going. Was it even a home run? Did it clear the fence? They weren't using like their 4K cameras or anything like that. So there are some issues there. But I do want to just acknowledge the fact that at least they're trying. They're trying to make an effort, which is, I think, the first step in the right direction. Anything worth doing is worth doing badly until you're able to do it good, right? That's that's my expression. And judging by the last 4 years of the walk-off, I think you can see where I stand on the doing things badly front. Last thing I want to just ask you is, additional events at the All-Star weekend. I've been a big proponent for years now that I want to see a radar gun and a guy taking three steps and just throwing an absolute laser. It doesn't have to be pitchers. It can be outfielders. It can be whoever. But at the hockey All-Star weekend, we get the hardest slap shot. I don't see any reason why we can't see the hardest throw. The only pushback I ever hear is like the injury risk, but I don't buy that. I don't buy that a guy can't throw a ball once really hard. Where's the pushback on this from you, Craig? I want to see like a relay race potentially, or some sort of a sprint situation. Like it could be home to first. I want to see, just like in the NHL, right? You've got the racing, who's the fastest guy in the NHL, right? Who's the fastest guy around the bases, right? Like I want to see these things. I want to see who's got 109 cannon from the outfield. Like, you know, give me three steps and a good throw and we're just putting up absurd numbers. Like I want to see it.
One of my favorite highlights that exists in baseball, if anyone remembers this, you know exactly what I mean. It was Ichiro. He had three bats lined up, you know, way away from him, and he was just taking a feed and firing, taking a feed, firing, taking a feed, firing, and he just plucked them off, 1, 2, 3. And it was a display of skill that for me was mind-blowing and breathtaking to watch. This is along the lines of what you're talking about, Adam. You could have some fun with bunting, different bunting games as well. You could have fun with all kinds of things. Hank, when you were explaining that, Adam, I could see a home plate runner. So it says go. That guy goes to first. There's already someone at first. As soon as he touches first, now his teammate goes to second. Like a relay type thing where it's all where it's all timed. I think that MLB could do a lot of fun different things with that. Have your players come out and race that flash guy from Atlanta. Just do fun things like that. I think there's all kinds of opportunities. And again, all of this speaks to things that the younger generation would like. So I think these are things that Major League Baseball would want to and will be implementing going forward. I don't mind that at all. Guys like us, you know, of our age, because you mentioned earlier, we'll want to keep an eye on it because it is going to be a fine line of traveling into gimmicky. So we will want to keep an eye on it. Yes. But I'm not at all. Even an old man yelling at the clouds like me is not averse to some of these changes and to adding some fun here to the All-Star break. Not at all.
All right. Speaking of fun gimmicks, we're going to talk trivia night because I got to promote this for a bit. We've got trivia night coming up January 31st. So that is this Tuesday. That is tomorrow if you're watching this on a Monday. Our Patreon continues to grow, so thank you for all the love and support there. We're over 40 members on the Patreon, so we are trying to give back to the Patreon community as best we can. Scott and I were doing movie reviews. That was what we were doing for the Patreon. We were reviewing classic baseball movies, Major League, Bull Durham, these sorts of things. The feedback we were getting on this was a lot of people wish they could have participated in these movie reviews with us. So a way for us to do this is by doing a trivia night. So we are going to start doing trivia nights once a month. Here's how it's going to work. There's going to be prizes every single month. Tomorrow's episode that we're doing, Major League, that is the classic Charlie Sheen Wild Thing movie. If you've seen this clip or any other clip or any other episode over the last month, you've probably seen the trailer right off the start advertising for it. But it is time to, if you haven't yet, sign up for Patreon because we are going to have some fun. We are going to be keeping score for prizes. We're going to be keeping a 12-month running tally of the leaderboards as well. So by December, someone will have the 2023 walk-off trivia crown and there will be a, I don't know what the whole prize is going to be for them specifically just yet, but it will be like a Blue Jays jersey, potentially more. We'll see how the more Patreon members we get, the more money we have to spend on these prizes. So the prize for tomorrow is going to be a New Era fitted baseball cap. So has to be Blue Jays. That's the only condition. So you, whoever wins, We'll DM afterwards. You tell me your size, your shipping address. We'll get a New Era fitted Blue Jays ball cap sent out to you. So that's January. Major League trivia starts right now. If you haven't yet, join, because the longer you wait, the harder time you're going to have getting that year-end prize, because everybody who's in on January, that's your best chance to get a head start on the 2023 trivia championship crown. So, okay.
Adam, I wonder if I can add to this here. So you guys are at 40 Patreon. How about this? If before it's go time tomorrow, if that's up to 50, then we'll do, I'll contribute a rookie team and rookie card, two rookie team and rookie cards. So the people who are 1 to 40 will be in that draw automatic. Remember, we got to get the 50 now. We got to get the 50 for this to unlock. So we get the 50 by the time it starts tomorrow. The 40 that were already Patreon members, we'll do two rookie team and rookie cards in there, and we'll do a draw for that for those 10 or however many people it's going to be new as well. So up to 3 rookie T rookie cards up for grabs. So it helps spread the word. All we need to do
That's generous, Craig.
Need to do, right, Adam? Because it's a climb, but let's do that. Let's do that. We get up to 50 by the time tomorrow hits, and you know what? If that happens as well, okay. We better do something for the winner as well. Maybe a Manoah rookie card or a rookie tee for the winner tomorrow as well. But for all four of these cards, Adam, for it to be unlocked, all of that has to happen. We got to be at least 50. So,
all right,
walk off, family. Got some work to do.
Big push. I love it. That's great of you, Craig. Thank you for that generous offer, and we'll see what we can do. If you haven't yet, again, sign up for the Patreon, patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. Lots going on there, early access to all of our interviews. So raw, unedited, all the behind the scenes stuff that you get to see, goes up right away. You don't have to wait 2 weeks for interviews with Danny Jansen, stuff like that. And trivia is going to be a lot of fun. So like Craig said, if we can get 10 more, if we can get to 50 by tomorrow evening in time for the trivia night, Ricky Tiedemann and rookie cards. That's super dope. So appreciate that, Craig. And hopefully we'll see you all for trivia night tomorrow night. Okay. Awesome. Let's talk AL playoff teams. The playoffs are no guarantee. We have expanded playoffs. It's 6 teams in each league now. There's no sure thing. Blue Jays with 92 wins last year had a good offseason. Let's not beat around the bush. They had a great offseason. So did a lot of other teams. And despite being one of the best teams on paper, the games still need to be played. So where does that leave us? I was reading this article on BleacherReport.com. It's grading every MLB team's offseason thus far. This is from yesterday. I'll link to this article in the show notes if you want to listen to it or have a read yourself. But here's the gist of it, Craig. A lot of teams made a lot of improvement. So did the Jays. Who do we need to be worried about? 6 teams are making the playoffs. I'm looking at the standings right now. Houston, New York Yankees, Cleveland Guardians, Toronto Blue Jays, Seattle Mariners, Tampa Bay Rays. Those were the playoff teams in 2022. I think we're going to see different teams in 2023. Who's a threat? I want to start this by saying, of the AL East teams, this is according to Bleacher Report, and you know me, I always love seeing a non-Blue Jays website, a non-Sportsnet website, a non-TSN website, giving love to our Toronto Blue Jays and the moves that we've made this offseason. So, according to Bleacher Report, AL East offseasons look like this. The Baltimore Orioles got a D for their offseason. The Red Sox got a C-. The Tampa Bay Rays got a C-. The New York Yankees got an A-. The Blue Jays got an A. Now, argue with me in the comments. Throw all your hatred for Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro and the terrible offseason that you think they had in the comments. But this neutral website is acknowledging that the Toronto Blue Jays had a gosh darn good offseason. And to add to that, I also want to just mention three MLB teams got a grade of an A+ this offseason. That being the Houston Astros, the New York Mets, and who was the third team that we were talking about? Texas Rangers.
Texas, yeah.
Also of note, LA Angels, A- this offseason. So if we're looking at teams to be weary of, I'm looking at the standings again here. So here's the order of the teams that missed the playoffs in the AL in 2022. Baltimore Orioles, Chicago White Sox, Boston Red Sox, Minnesota Twins, LA Angels, Texas Rangers. That leaves the three at the bottom, Detroit Tigers, Kansas City Royals, Oakland Athletics. Do any of those three teams at the bottom, do those feel like a threat to you to steal a playoff spot away from the Blue Jays? Detroit, Kansas City, or Oakland? I don't want to spend too much time if they're not a threat.
No, sir. No, absolutely not.
Okay. So sorry to the Tigers, Royals, and Athletics fans. We're going to move on from there. Let's see who else we can eliminate. I don't think we can eliminate anybody else. Maybe Boston of these remaining teams. So let's look at, I'm going to pencil in the Astros, the Yankees, and the Guardians into playoff spots.
There's your three division winners.
There's your three division winners. Beyond that, we're looking at Toronto, Seattle, the Rays, Orioles, White Sox, Twins, Angels, and Rangers.
The Twins are the only team in the, I see quite a bit of separation out of that. That's a page you and I are not on the same page here. I actually do think it's going to be the exact same teams making the playoffs in 2023. I see quite a gap here from the playoff teams to the next next round of teams there. Texas, on the surface, it felt like Texas just spent money for the sake of making money, but when you're spending money, I mean, but when you really deep dive, they made some nice moves and plug some specific holes. I just don't see them being better than Seattle or Houston. The Angels, what is this, the fourth offseason in a row, Adam? We're going to say, hey, watch out for the Angels this year. But at some point, it's going to be true. And they spent very specific money on real nice lineup improvements this season as well. Brandon Drury was one of my real, what's the word I want to look for? Not X factors, but he was an important free. I thought Brandon Drury really showed last season that he could be a real nice contributor to a winner. And he went out of his way to sign with LA. So he sees, he likes the cut of their jib. So I think Anaheim and Minnesota as well. So those are some teams that I don't think will be far off. But at the end of the day, at the end of the season, I think there'll be a full week of baseball at the end of next season where it's just jockeying for positions for the wild card spots. I think it'll be determined by then. That really? Tampa getting a C-. You know, my number one thing to caution Blue Jay fans is do not sleep on the Tampa Rays. The Tampa Rays own the Toronto Blue Jays. The Jays had a better record last season, yes, but Tampa was ravaged with injuries last season. I just don't see that being the case this season. So I think they're definitely in the playoffs. Seattle, as much as I did like that trade from the Blue Jays standpoint, Teoscar Hernandez mashes at that ballpark. He's going to hit 35 home runs this season for Seattle. They're going to get a full season of J-Rod there as well. They've got that pitching staff. They're going to be back. Texas, the Minnesota, and LA, I think will be close. You're saying, Adam, which of these teams can we eliminate right now? For me, Boston, toss. Baltimore, toss. I don't understand the love that Baltimore is getting right now. I think they're at least a year away still. Their general manager said at the beginning of the offseason that, hey, after they picked up Kyle Gibson in that press conference, he said, okay, watch this now. It's to the roof. It's to the moon now. And he was talking about the payroll. They added nobody. I have no idea what he was talking about. They did nothing after that. They've got a really good system. There's no doubt about it. But again, I still think that's a year away. So for me, Adam, Boston and Baltimore, toss them both.
Yeah, I think Boston, I'm saying toss as well. And I look, these are going to be famous last words, right? These are going to come back to haunt me for sure when the Red Sox somehow wins the AL East. Baltimore, like you said, the Kyle Gibson signing, the words afterwards. I think Baltimore misgauged what the market was going to be like. I think they did genuinely feel like they were going to be buyers via trade and via free agency. And then I think realized pretty quickly that, like, oh, the asking price, we're not willing to part with these guys yet. So that's how I feel about Baltimore. I think, look, if you're a Baltimore Orioles fan, kudos to you. And your team is going to be good eventually. Like, that is a bandwagon worth sticking with. The future is bright in Baltimore. I just don't think it starts this year. I think there's going to be a regression. And that's only because I think they wickedly overachieved last year. I mean, as Blue Jays fans, we're well aware that the rise of a career path is not always just straight up, right? There are regressions along the way. So I see that in Baltimore. I'm worried about Minnesota. Not as much as I feel like I should be, but they were pesky.
Adam, I wonder
if the White Sox and the Guardians. I felt like the Guardians kind of ran away with it towards the end of the season, but in early September, I was looking at that AL Central and I was thinking White Sox, Twins, and Guardians. This is anybody's race.
Well, and the White Sox got hit with the injury bug. So if I'm willing to say Tampa's going to be better this season just because of the built-in health, don't I have to admit that Chicago White Sox are the same idea?
Yeah, absolutely. New manager in Chicago as well. La Russa's gone. Mm-hmm. That worked out good for them as he left towards the end of the season. Look, the Angels want so badly to be good, but they can't get out of their own way, it seems. I don't know. The Angels, I'm going to write the Angels off. I don't know what it is about them.
Yes, the rain, you do. Yes, you do. You're just being nice because we see them write themselves off every damn year with they look good on paper. And then the umpire all of a sudden says, okay, let's play ball. And now there's a problem.
Yeah. And like, to the Angels, trade Shohei Ohtani at some point in 2023. Get used to that question. Right? Is that going to be a running headline for the next 4 months? Like right up until the trade deadline, right? Texas Rangers, though. What's not to like about the Texas Rangers? Where are you down on the Texas Rangers? Because 68-94 last year. This is a team that just added Jacob DeGrom, Andrew Heaney. Andrew Heaney doesn't scare me. I mean, there was speculation the Jays were in on him. I'm glad we didn't get him. I'm much happier with Bassett than Heaney. But the Rangers are making a push. You don't spend the way they spend without serious aspirations.
Yeah, I still don't like their outfield that much. I definitely don't like that bullpen. And that starting rotation, I think, has a lot of potential. Heaney was awesome last season, so it does have potential. But if we're having an open, honest conversation, we could wax poetically about Jacob DeGrom until the cows come home. The truth is, we need to see him have a healthy season. I mean, I'm sorry with this. He's the Nate Pearson. Now, Nate Pearson's not at the level of DeGrom, but it's the same thing. If we're trying to praise the season Nate Pearson could have, any Blue Jay fan could enter the chat and say, hey, wait a minute, that's an if, right? That's if he stays healthy. Well, it's the same if that applies with Jacob DeGrom, in my opinion.
Yeah, Jacob DeGrom, the talent is as good as it gets.
Oh, my gosh.
All-time talent, right? Can we agree on that? He's got all-time talent. I mean,
he's got two pitches that are just as good as any pitches that have ever come out of anyone's hand in the history of baseball. He's got two of them, for crying out loud. Like, he's incredible.
You know, I trumpet this all the time that the best ability is availability.
Availability, nice. Yeah, totally true.
You know, to get to hockey for a second here, there's some really talented hockey players in the NHL right now. So this argument doesn't necessarily hold up anymore, but for most of my life, the conversation was, you know, who's the greatest of all time? It's Wayne Gretzky, right? No questions asked. Pretty tough to argue with that. my counterpoint to that with Mario Lemieux was that Mario Lemieux, in my opinion, was the most talented of all time. But because he couldn't stay on the ice, I had no choice but to hand the reins to Wayne Gretzky, right? Now looking at what guys like Connor McDavid are doing, it's, I mean, we're talking different eras, right? So it's hard to compare, but there's some pretty talented hockey players that maybe are more talented than we've ever seen before, but that's just sports, right? Mm-hmm. But that's Jacob DeGrom, elite talent, but I don't know if we're getting ahead of ourselves, but just because we saw the Hall of Fame nods over the past week with Scott Rolland getting in, Fred McGriff in, former Blue Jay. Jacob DeGrom, is he a Hall of Fame pitcher for you?
And we'd really have to, I don't have a good answer for you off the top of my head, Adam. We'd really have to dive into it because I would really want to see his peak years. And could we still argue that he's still in his peak years? So off the top of my head, I do not have a good answer for you. I think your point here is that from a talent standpoint, I mean, isn't he first ballot? But back to your point, what about the availability though, Greg, right? What about the availability? So we'd have to deep dive that, Adam. I don't have a good answer off the top of my head that from a talent standpoint, there's simply no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm just pulled up his baseball reference page. 2018, 2019, back-to-back Cy Youngs. He's in top 10 in Cy Young voting. Seems like almost every year.
So we would have to see, is there even any precedence in the Baseball Hall of Fame for a two-time, for a multiple Cy Young winner not in? We'd have to see if that's, I mean, so he might have written that ticket already.
Yeah, I'm looking at his innings pitched. 2014 made his MLB debut, 140 innings. That's a rookie season, so it is what it is. Second year, 191 innings. That's a full season. 2016, 148. Then going into his Cy Young, I guess, breakout years, however you want to call it. 201, 217, 204. And then in the COVID-shortened season, 68 innings. Nobody got too many innings that year. 2021, 92 innings. And then last year, 64 innings. There's an argument to be made that he's already punched his ticket, but that's tough, man. That's a tough call.
Well, the availability is not there. You did not just read out, if we're just doing a blind reveal and we didn't know it was DeGrom, so we didn't have his stuff in our head, and you were just doing a blind reveal of those stats, I definitely think we'd be sitting here saying, ooh, what about the availability? So it's a legit question.
I'm looking at four dominant years in baseball.
Boy, I mean, that's not enough of a peak. But again, I'm going to ask, is there even a two-time Cy Young winner that's not in the Hall of Fame, right? That might be the get out of jail free card right there.
That might be it. I don't know. For me... yeah, I go back on this all the time on the Hall of Fame. Like, I was listening to Blair and Barker and their thoughts on Scott Rolland getting in. And the way Barker puts it, and I, in my bones, this is kind of how I feel, is there ever a point where you're playing either with the guy or against the guy, or even just as a viewer at home watching a guy and telling yourself, you know, we're playing against a Hall of Famer right now. Right. And that was his argument against Scott Rolland.
Oh, wow. Oh, my answer is yes. I thought he was a Hall of Famer when he came to the Blue Jays. Okay. So I like the point, but I'll disagree with the conclusion there.
Maybe someone in the comments can correct me. I was listening to that before bed. So maybe I was half asleep and I misheard that, but that was my impression of Rolland. When you look at a guy like Justin Verlander, when you look at a guy like Max Scherzer, when you look at a guy like Clayton Kershaw, these are names that absolutely feel like for 10 years we've been talking about them as these guys are Hall of Famers.
And it hasn't mattered, Adam. You just mentioned pitchers that have been in multiple different teams and multiple different leagues. They don't need the situation to be right. They go into situations and dominate because they're that good. Those are first ballot Hall of Famers. Absolutely, yes.
we're kind of off the topic here with Jacob DeGrom. Is he a Hall of Famer as far as the AL playoff teams go? So let's try and steer back here and get out of this topic. But you think we're sticking with the chalk as far as AL playoff teams in 2023?
Not only are we sticking with the chalk, Adam, but by September 20th, it's already cast. By the last 2 weeks of the season, we're just noticing a playoff standings. That's it. It's done. Adam, the Blue Jays won 92 games last season. I want to mention this. The Blue Jays won 92 games last season. For anyone who is concerned, because I'm here sitting here saying as a guarantee they will make the playoffs next season. 92 wins in 2022. I do think it's an improved team, but let's look at this. And I've written this down here, so I don't forget it. With this New Balance schedule, which I hate, but the New Balance schedule, the 2022 Toronto Blue Jays, 0 games against Miami, bottom feeders Miami, 3 coming up this season. No games last season against bottom feeder Arizona, 3 this season. No games last season against bottom feeder Washington Nationals, 3 this season. None against bottom feeder Colorado, 3 this season. A dozen games that have come off of having to play the Rays and the damn Yankees, and now you're playing the bottom feeder. So that 92 wins, just from the new rules, Adam, I think automatically improved. And 92 wins will be enough to make the playoffs this season. But I don't even think the Blue Jays win 92. I think it's going to be north of that. Our friend Lewis, Jay's kid on Twitter, I was talking to him the other day, and he really sees 100 wins coming. Blue Jays have never had 100 wins in their franchise history. He thinks it's this year.
I'd love to see it. Great points about those bottom feeder teams getting 4 extra series in there.
A dozen games, Adam, a dozen games where you don't have to play. That's at least 3, if not 6, that you don't have to go to the House of Horrors in the Trop. Instead, you're going to flip in Colorado or Washington. Yes, please.
All right. I'll give you that. I like your guarantee. Blue Jays, pencil it in now, making the playoffs in 2023. Okay. Let's end with this then and get out of here because we're going long. High variance players. So, I don't know if he came up with the term. I'm giving him credit anyways. Nick Ashburn, sportsnet.ca article.
Well, Nick's on awesome. These. We should give him credit. He's awesome.
High variance players. These are guys with high ceilings, low floors. Best case scenario, MVP. Worst case scenario, devastating. Sink in the team. Okay. Comes to mind, Jose Berríos. Comes to mind, Vladdy. What is the difference between his peak and his valley? Before I start listing too many names here, I want your names before I pollute your mind with ideas here. Just in terms of, we just talked wins and losses for the Blue Jays. You guaranteed they're making the playoffs in 2023. Is there a single performer on this team who can sink this ship with a bad performance? And is there is that the same player who, with an elite year, with a record-setting year, can get them to 100 wins, can get them to the World Series? Who is that guy for you? Or is it two guys?
That's why I'm so excited about this offseason, Adam, is I don't think there is one player. We talked last week about liking the offseason, then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here came Brandon Belt, and has the fan base really wrapped their minds around how versatile that makes this lineup now? So I actually don't think there's one thing that can sink anybody. When it comes to Jose Berríos, here's what I want Blue Jay fans to consider. And I'm going to preface it by telling you where I'm coming from here. So I'm a Miami Dolphin fan. So there was a stretch of time a few years back where the Miami Dolphins, out of 21 games, they won 1 game. And I can tell you, we were so lucky to win that game, won 1 out of 21. My best friend literally, this is back in the day when you'd read things in the sports section, read the newspaper. And my best friend literally called me one day and said, hey, am I reading this right here? 20 losses in the last 21 games? Like, are you okay? Like literally check him. You're okay, right? You're okay, right? Because he knows I live and die with the Dolphins. That's a lot of losing. So living through that, everything changed from sports for me. It became all about the wins or the losses. Everything changed in sports for me, the wins or the losses. Jose Berríos. Are any of us happy with the 2022 that Jose Berríos, including Jose Berríos, put together? None of us would be. But what I want to say is this, Adam. The Toronto Blue Jays were 23-9 when Jose Berríos pitched last season. So people ask me, what sort of season do we need from Berríos this season? And their eyes bug out when I tell them we need the identical, the exact same season. Doesn't mean his ERA has to be north of 5, right? Like, let's go ahead and clean it up. Fine. But aren't, again, where I'm coming from, wins and losses. Adam, Blue Jays were 14-2 when Barrios started at the Rogers Center. I'm going to say that again. 14-2 when Barrios started at the Rogers Center. And the two losses, Adam Mack, the Jays scored two runs in the first game and none in the second game. And I don't care how long you've been watching baseball, you know that if your team scores zero runs, it's difficult to win that game. So, my God, I can't even – basically, if the Jays offense did anything and Jose Barrios was on the mound, the Blue Jays won that game. Robbie Ray wins the Cy Young with the Blue Jays. They went 17. They missed the playoffs by one game, and they went 17-17 when Robbie Ray started. Wouldn't we give away that Cy Young just to be one game better when Ray was on the mound? Would have made the playoffs. So, again, here's where I'm coming from. When you talk about wins and losses, I want the exact same season from Jose Barrios.
Okay. A lot to dissect there, Craig. I love the points you're making. I got to have you on with Joel to go toe-to-toe on Robbie Ray because that would just be fun to watch. Great point, though. Robbie Ray, Cy Young season, 17-17. What was the record for the Jays with Jose Barrios last year?
23-9 overall. 14-2 at home, Adam Mack. 14-2.
So this was a point I made on one of the long tosses last summer with Jose Barrios. And I'm generally not a Jose Barrios guy. His bad starts are absolute implosions, right? We're talking like he's gone in the second inning. He's already given up a 9-run lead. It is what it is.
Remember the home opener, Adam? He got two outs, or yeah. Did he get one out even? That home opener was wow.
So yeah, when you take a season look at his ERA, it's inflated through performances like that. You mentioned being a Dolphins fan. I'm a Steelers guy, big fantasy football fanatic myself. It all comes down to your wins and losses, right? You need guys who can ball out for you and get you the wins, and that's ultimately all that matters. So when it comes to Jose Barrios, if we've lost, it kind of just is what it is, right? Like whether we lose 5-6 or whether we lose 9-1, it's a loss. They're all weighted the same. At the end of the year. So I'm that's absolutely right. Yes. With you there. Another thing with Jose Barrios is I've totally lost my train of thought here. I'll have to edit all this out. I'll find it.
You're not a Barrios guy.
Man. Why did my brain just turn right off?
Isn't it possible? You guys would be more tuned into things like this. I thought rumor wise, it seemed like he was going through a divorce or something off the field last season. I wonder if something like that could have played in here.
I don't know anything about that. It would be interesting to see what his numbers look like if you eliminate his 5 worst starts. I mean, to be fair, you'd also have to eliminate his 5 best starts and then get, you know, what were those 20 right. starts in the middle and accurately measure that way. But I bet you the ERA come down significantly. I found my point that my brain shut off. I had to just do a quick reboot here. you mentioned two starts where he... What was it? The Blue Jays scored 0 runs and we scored 2 runs.
Yeah. Those are the two losses at Rogers Center. Yeah.
The two losses at Rogers Center. So that makes me harken back to the Vancouver Canucks circa 2010. Roberto Luongo in net, superstar goalie, just won gold medal for Canada in Vancouver. I think he wore the C on his helmet because he was that much of a role on the Vancouver Canucks. Don't get me started on how stupid it is to have your goalie as the captain when he can't even go talk to the refs. Anyways, Roberto Luongo, superstar goalie, was the backbone of that team and probably the only reason they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. And then Vancouver Canucks fans booed him out of town after they lost to the Bruins. They lost to the Bruins, I believe, in 6 games. And the Vancouver Canucks scored 7 goals in that series.
Oh, good.
Like,
how's that on the goalie?
So the fact that they won 2 games at all, I think were both Roberto Luongo shutouts, where they won 1-0 or something like this. So wow. Yeah, okay. There were a couple ugly losses from Roberto Luongo. I think some like 4 or 5 goal games in that Stanley Cup final. So that's why I think a lot of the fans were on him so hard about that. But to blame a goalie to blame it all on the goalie when the offense was so inept is just idiotic. And yeah. I think there's a comparison there to be made with Jose Barrios and those two losses, like you mentioned, where it's like, hey, he did his part. You know, if the offense isn't scoring, you can't blame a loss on the starting pitcher there. Very interesting, though, his record. What was it again? 23-9,
the Blue Jays. And again, 14-2 at home. So what's that on the road then? So that's what, 9-23-9. So 9-7. So even a winning record on the road, these guys. Even with Manoah last season, the Blue Jays were 500. And we love, or sorry, 18. And I think they were 18-13 with Manoah, 18-13 with Gausman. 23-9 with Jose Barrios. And is there something to be said as well, Adam, with the fact that, remember, we just talked about Barrios on that opening. He was their opening day starter. And that was a legitimate conversation, right? Would it be Barrios? Would it be Manoah? Gausman? That was a legitimate conversation. Fast forward to the end of the season in that playoff series with Seattle, even if it went game 3, it probably wasn't going to be Barrios. He was that far removed. Now he's more of the 4 starter on this team. Does that alleviate a lot of pressure and we get Jose Barrios back to being Jose Barrios in 2023? And again, I'm going to say all of it. If he's the same pitcher he was last season, he had the highest ERA in baseball. So, Craig, you're asking me to be happy with that? I'm not happy. No, I'm just asking, what about the results? Let's big picture this thing when we talk about Barrios, because so many Blue Jay fans are panicked about him. If we big picture it, the Blue Jays won when he was on the mound. And isn't that the name of the flipping game?
Yeah, there's definitely real value there. Like we said, whether he gets blown up in the first inning and it's a bullpen game and it's a write-off, or whether he goes 7 strong and we still lose. It is what it is. I want to pivot now to the offense because I'm with you. I think pitching is going to be a big factor for this team. I think Alek Manoah, depending on how he maintains or regresses this year, is going to have a big outcome on our wins and loss column.
Let's go.
You're high on Manoah. No regression.
Oh, God, no. No regression.
Another step
Alek
forward.
Manoah, will it be a step forward?
Or does he just need to...
Yeah, right, Adam? Yeah, just continue on the pace he's on, right? Like, how much more of a step forward can this guy take? I love, I'm such a fan of Alek Manoah. I think he represents the Toronto Blue Jays extremely well. He was somebody that literally the day they drafted him, I jumped on Twitter and I started following him right away. And from jump, he was all in on what it meant to be a Blue Jay and what it meant to represent Canada. So I got nothing but time and love for Alek Manoah. But the big thing here, Adam, because those are all off the field things, that doesn't mean he continues to improve. But I love the work this guy puts in the offseason. This offseason's maybe been a different animal. Scott can attest to this because Alek Manoah got married this season. So eating habits, you know, or your daily habits, your maybe things like that got out of whack a little bit, fine. But do I see him riding his ship and taking things seriously to put his foot forward for the Toronto Blue Jays this season? My God, we are so lucky to have this guy, Adam. I know you know that, but it's worth mentioning. We're so lucky to have this guy.
Big time fan of Alek Manoah. Vladdy. Let's end with this and then we'll get out of here. Thank you so much for your time, Craig. Thanks for everybody for watching, listening. The downloads and everything on the audio side have just continued to skyrocket. So massive thanks. We'll end on this. Awesome. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Look, I kind of talked myself into this with Garth on Friday. Is his season the most inconsequential for the Blue Jays in 2023?
Inconsequential?
Hear me out. His floor being what it is. Like I can't see a world where Vladdy has the kind of season that tanks this team. I can't fathom that. I can see him hitting 65 home runs, and I can see him hitting 35 home runs or any number in between. I can't see him hitting 11 home runs, barring injury.
Right.
As long as he's on the field. He is going to give you, gold glove caliber defense at first base for whatever that's worth. And, oh, by the way, probably worth a lot. And he's going to give you a batting average close to 300, right? high 280s at least as a floor, with 25 home runs as an absolute floor. How much does actually adding 40 home runs make a difference to this team? Like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I feel like it's all icing on the cake.
So we're definitely on different pages here. Wow. I'm definitely on the other side of that. I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is massively important to this team. I thought his 2022 was completely unacceptable. There was not one metric that was up to his standards last season. Not one. If you take your mind's eye back to last season, I think that Vlad came up in the biggest spots more than any other Blue Jay. And if we're having an open house conversation, let us down more often than not. So, no, I'm on the complete different aspect there, Adam. I think Vlad's season is going to be massively important. He's going to be hitting in that three spot. The three spot, that's the RBI spot for a World Series contender. That's a very, very, very important spot. So I think Vlad has to be back to being Vlad. And when I say being Vlad, anything south of 300 is completely unacceptable for me for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. His potential is significantly higher than that. Any home, you said 25 home, man, something has gone wrong if we're only getting 25 home runs from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. His projections this season, I've seen 111 RBIs, which I think is hopefully low, because hopefully the Blue Jay offense is going to get him a lot more opportunities than that. But 39 home runs is the projection for him this season. I'm right there with that. No, Adam, we're going to be on different pages here. I think the 20, I don't know. I watched it with Garth too, and I don't remember him chiming in on this particular subject. So I don't know how he felt about it, but maybe I'm in the minority here, but I think the Blue Jays absolutely need to have a big season from Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Let me phrase it to you this way. Okay. What do you think? Just give me the basic stats here. Is the floor for Vladdy in 2023? Not like what does he need to do? What do you think is realistically worst case scenario? Home runs and batting average. Let's just do that.
We just saw it 2022 again, Adam. I don't think there was anything acceptable about his 2022 season. Double play machine, lost his launch angle, no clutch hits. His 2022 was completely unacceptable. And for a lot of players, they're sitting there right now. We talked about this last week. They're like, "Hey, Ma, look at these." Like, for a lot of players, his 2022 was iPop emoji. For Vladimir Guerrero Jr., no, can't do it.
So 32 home runs and a 270-ish batting average floor for Vladdy.
They still make the playoffs, Adam. Don't get me wrong. That team still makes the playoffs, but we're talking big fish to fry here. We're talking a World Series contender. There's not going to be a World Series contender whose number three hitter is having an off year. Bryce Harper didn't have an off year.
This is what I mean, is that even like the floor of Vladdy, we're still a 92-win playoff team.
Totally agree. I totally agree with you on that, Adam. Totally agree with you on that. I guess
that's the point I'm trying to make here.
Okay.
If he breaks Aaron Judge's AL home run record, whatever, if he hits 63 home runs, how much of an improvement is that?
Well,
you think we're 106 wins if Vladdy does that?
Well, it's 100. That's a 100-win team if Vlad does that. Yeah, you're passing the Yankees, you're passing the Rays, you're winning the division if that's the case. I firmly believe that.
I don't know if I'm with you there, but that's okay. We don't have to agree. Everybody in the comments, let us know, because I still think Vladdy can be the MVP of this team and is also still the least important. I think that a guy like Alec Manoah, if his floor, like, and we're talking serious regression, right? If the game tape is out on Alec Manoah, he's tipping his pitches, whatever the case is, the league figures him out and he is a 4.2 ERA kind of a guy. Oof. I think Alec Manoah with his floor, we can miss the playoffs. I don't think that's the case with Vladdy.
Wow. Well, I like the way you're putting it there. It's making sense to me. The Manoah stuff is too good. I don't think there is any figuring him out. His stuff is just so special. And once he gets that changeup, which was much improved in 2022, once he gets that to be a plus-plus pitch as well, my God. Adam, I think you just laid it out. But the only way to settle this is Vlad has to put up 63 home runs this season, and then we'll sit back and see what happened there. So that's the deal. So, Vlad, right, this is over to you now. The ball is both in your court now, Vlad.
This one's on you, Vlad. All right. Craig, thanks again so much for taking the time. Really enjoy talking ball with you. everybody who's watched, thanks for watching this far, whether it's on clips or the full channel or listening on audio. Just a reminder, Patreon trivia night tomorrow night. Craig has upped the ante.
Come on.
So we're at 40 Patreon right now. Prize for the winner tonight or tomorrow night, Blue Jays fitted ball cap. If we can get those Patreon numbers up to 50, Craig's going to throw in some Ricky Tiedemann rookie cards. Very cool. Very gracious. Thank you so much, Craig. We'll catch you on the next one. Go Jays go, and cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.